everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. In today's case, it is definitely going to be a feathery friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful Emperor Penguin. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Ava, Zeke, Neil, Morgan, Celia, Isabel, Nicole, Hika, and Ira. Thank you so much for taking the time to write in, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. If you would like to help the show's mission of helping you relax while learning about animals, all while getting exclusive content like ad-free and intro-free versions of episodes, and an extra episode a week, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts, or you can just click the Patreon link in the description. A huge shout-out to George Flad for the ambiances used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first episode, I would like to welcome you to the Animal Podcast family with open arms. And if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of winter boots and a jacket. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second exhortation to you is that you realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head, in the neck, in the shoulders, maybe even in the legs or arms? Regardless of where you carry tension, my exhortation to you is the same. Do your best to relax whatever it is that you are tensing, and you can even bring up in your mind a flavor or color of Jell-O that you like, and do your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. The kind of impression that rips away an Oscar from Leonardo DiCaprio once again. If you don't even know where you carry tension, which is entirely possible, you can start with a little scan. Basically, start from the bottom of your feet in your mind and then just slowly scan up the body, relaxing as you go. So here you might start by relaxing the feet, then the calves, then the hamstrings and the quadriceps, and so on. It can be really difficult to relax when we are stiff as a board. My final exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into the icy environment of Antarctica, where the wild Emperor Penguin resides. Today, we are in a place that we have visited relatively sparingly. We have definitely been here for a past penguin episode, but that was just covering all penguins, almost a disservice to all of the amazing and unique species. So I am very glad to be back here again, though some might say it is a little bit cold. For me, as a Canadian, it feels like home. Perhaps if you're listening from a very warm environment like a Florida or some other US state, maybe in the warmer parts of the United Kingdom, but this is truly one of the most unique environments in the world. And some might argue it is one of the best because it has the Emperor Penguin. Now, the Emperor Penguin is their common name. Their scientific name is Aptenodytes forsteri. As always, there is some Latin and Greek in here. The former portion of their name comes from the combination of two Greek words, aptes and doutes. Aptes means wingless, while doutes means diver. The latter portion of their scientific name, forsteri, is a Latinized form of the name Forster, which is in honor of the English naturalist Johann Reinhold Forster, who accompanied Captain James Cook on his second voyage around the world from 1772 to 1775. Forster happened to be one of the first scientists to describe and document the Emperor Penguin during this expedition. So just from their scientific name, we learn that this is a wingless diver, and that is in fact exactly what they are. The Emperor Penguin, like all penguins, is a bird. They are carnivorous animals living in pretty large colonies with an average lifespan of 15 to 20 years. They are about 45 inches on average, weighing up to 88 pounds, perhaps lighter or heavier than you'd think. But this creature is called the Emperor Penguin for a reason. They are the largest of all of the penguins, standing at that average 45 inches tall. They can only be found here in the wild on the Antarctic ice and in the cold surrounding waters. They are noted by researchers for their regal demeanor, meaning almost a kingly sort of countenance. They are, of course, that characteristic black and white that we always attribute to penguins, and the species form about 50 colonies settling on the icy shelves and ice all along Antarctica's coastline. They can dive to depths of almost 550 meters, around 1,800 feet, in pursuit of food, making them the world's deepest diving birds. The Emperor Penguin is number one as far as birds that dive, which again lends to their scientific name, identifying them as wingless divers. They happen to be the deepest wingless divers. Looking around this vast colony of individual Emperor Penguins, you'll see more than just black and white. You can see also little bits of orange and yellow spotted around their head, neck, and breast. This is the main way you can tell whether or not it is an emperor penguin. The juveniles, or the younger ones, are generally smaller and will have plumage close to adults, but with pale white to light gray feathers instead of orange and yellow. The downy feathers of the small chicks are silver gray, and although the feathers around their eyes are white, those covering the rest of the head are black. There is another kind of penguin that is found on numerous Antarctic islands called the king penguin. It is a smaller species and a distinct species from the emperor penguin. They would merit their own episode. So let's look at their diving and hunting habits a little bit. Emperor penguins are adept divers who can stay underwater for over 22 minutes. They can catch krill, squid, and fish that gather together beneath or on the edges of ice shelves. the durability or the ruggedness of the emperor penguin has allowed them even to reach the South Shetland Islands, Tierra del Fuego, the Falkland Islands, the South Sandwich Islands, that's a great name, and a few more. Their main predators that they will be worrying about are killer whales, leopard seals, and giant fulmars. All incredible creatures in their own right, but the enemy of the emperor penguin. The most pressing question, or maybe obvious question, especially as humans here in this very cold environment, is how can the emperor penguin walk around here like this, let alone dive to such depths? Do they not feel the cold? Well, emperors have remarkable insulation in the shape of numerous layers of scale-like feathers. These are so precisely laid down that it would take high gusts over 60 knots or over 110 kilometers an hour to ruffle them. I know that many of you use miles, so let me just say that. That is about 68 miles per hour that the wind has to be going to ruffle their feathers. That is remarkable insulation. Their bills and flippers relative to their entire body size are pretty small. Researchers say that this is to conserve heat. They also have specialized nasal chambers that retain much of their heat lost during exhalation. In addition to all of those amazing characteristics, they also have a good amount of energy-giving body fat. They have something like an organic winter jacket all the time. They remain relatively inactive throughout the winter time, conserving those large stores of body fat as well. They are also cuddlers. One of the most well-known facts about this creature is that they love to cuddle together to stay warm. This huddling instinct implies that they do not protect any territory. This would make the emperor the only penguin species that does not have its own territory. They don't worry about keeping others out of their space, actually, quite the opposite. By huddling together, it really serves them well, conserving a great deal of body heat in a very cold environment. These creatures also have the individual ability to recycle their own body heat. Within their bodies, they have arteries and veins just like we do, but theirs are closer together. And so, what ends up happening is that their blood is pre-cooled on its route to their feet, wings, and bill before it is warmed on its way back to the heart. This is a remarkable mechanism, and one that we don't have. I suppose that for the majority of us, we wouldn't really need it. Add to all of this one more thing. They have special feet that are adapted to frigid, cold environments. They have unique lipids, meaning fats, on their feet to keep them from freezing. It is worth mentioning that many other polar animals, that is, animals that live in these environments, have these unique lipids as well. Their feet are also equipped with powerful claws to hold onto the ice, just so they don't slip and slide when they don't want to. The sight of one of these colonies is breathtaking. They can range from sizes of a few hundred to more than 20,000 pairs of individuals. So when there are large groups that huddle together, protecting one another from those 200 kilometer per hour winds, about 124 miles per hour, They can endure the most freezing circumstances. They are, in fact, the only animal to breed during this Antarctic winter, a fairly extreme time, when they have to gain weight before a molt or the commencement of a breeding season. They can eat up to 6 kilograms every day. All breeding adults have to fill their tummies up to the brim before they return to the colony. They will have to feed their babies, and the colonies are generally far removed from those fishing grounds, and a chick will require around 42 kilograms of food from each parent. Not all at once, of course. Breeding among emperor penguins starts in late March and early April, when males and females return from feeding in the sea. And despite the lack of a nest and the colony's massive size, remember, sometimes up to 20,000 pairs of individuals, around 15% of adults can locate their mate from the previous year, which is really cool. An interesting aspect about emperors is that the male is solely responsible for incubation, which begins immediately after the egg has been laid. The process of incubation is protecting the egg from the harsh winds, keeping it at that optimal temperature for growth. While the male is hard at work, the female is going to leave the colony, traveling 80 to 160 kilometers, about 50 to 100 miles to the sea, not returning until the incubation period is over. This ends up being somewhere between the range of 60 to 68 days, so just over 2 months. Because the male is not going out and eating, they are forced to survive on their fat reserves. Once the babies hatch around August time, the females return to the colony to replace the males. And if you look really closely, you can see that the chicks are standing on the feet of the males. Each chick will stand on one of the parents' feet until they are strong enough to sustain and stand alone in the cold of the Antarctic ice. One interesting phenomenon about these large groups is that they are not only in danger from the cold. There are a number of adults in the colony who have lost eggs or chicks, and these kinds of birds have been observed to interfere with parents who have young, and it is because of this interference that these chicks have a higher mortality rate than others. There is a stage in their development called the creche stage, when several young emperor penguins form groups to defend themselves both against the cold and predators. What was once a fluffy down covering is replaced with a coat of short, stiff feathers. These are basically identical in their composition to those of adults, but you can still tell that there is something a bit different in their color. It is at this point, a point that is sometimes called a molt, that the juvenile penguin departs from the colony to find its own food at sea. They become fully fledged adults by December and January of their first year, and will return to their colony when they are around 5. Now, let us move on to their name. Why are they called emperor penguins? Well, there are a number of contradictory sources online to this very point, but I believe it to be the case that they were called emperor penguins because they were even bigger than king penguins. What is bigger than a king? An emperor. They are the largest species of penguin alive today, and so it makes sense. But if we were ever to find a bigger penguin somewhere, I don't know where, what would we call them? That is a funny thought. And now, let me just tell you a dad joke to ruin your night. Check this out. What does a penguin waiter say to their customers? Waddle it be. I think that is a very well-crafted dad joke. It's bad enough to give you a little bit of a chill, but clever enough that it's still actually a joke. Well done. On last week's episode on Spotify, I asked you guys, what would you rate the podcast out of 6, of course? For those of you that were unsure why I was asking for a rating out of 6 and not 5 or 10, it's a joke based on the fact that one of you out there, I don't remember who it was, rated the podcast out of 6, and I just found that super funny. And now a rating out of 6 is the only acceptable rating. Starfall responded and said, 7 out of 6. You've helped me out so much when I goof up and watch the wrong kind of horror, resulting in my anxiety acting up when I try to sleep. Thank you so much for what you do. Now, maybe it is because I am an old man on the inside, I don't entirely understand the reason for horror movies. I love thrillers and whatnot, but the idea of purposely scaring myself doesn't sound like my idea of a great time. But to each their own, and Starfall, I'm glad I can be there to help when you do watch those scary movies. Frank responded and said, this podcast gets 6 bonobo thumbs out of 6. Again, a very solid rating system, but I have to say, why only whole numbers? Not even a 6.0 or a 5.98. But still, Frank, I greatly appreciate your feedback. Misha said, 20 plus 50 plus 30 divided by 10 minus 4 out of 6. If I did my math correctly, that is 16.66 out of 6. I thank you for the rating, but I am offended you have made me do math. For today's review on Apple Podcasts, we are going to be reading T. Dufa's review, who wrote all the way from Canada, my homeland. And T. Dufa writes, this is my favorite podcast. Thank you for making it. It helps me fall asleep. Can there be an Inland Taipan episode? Thank you, T. Dufa, for the very wonderful review. I thank you more for listening it than you thank me for making it. I'm glad that it helps you fall asleep, and the Inland Taipan is a great suggestion. Just also be sure to send it in through the website so I don't miss it. Whether you listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can communicate with me through the review or by responding through the Q&A. But especially if you are on Spotify, the questions are there every week and I read 3 of them. So I encourage you to reply so we can have fun interacting with each other. If you would like to request an animal, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can send me an email at relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can send a message to the Relax with Animal Facts Instagram. If you would like more Relax with Animal Facts, including completely ad and intro-free episodes and one exclusive episode a week, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or click on the link in the description. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description and you should check him out. The facts used in this episode came from NationalGeographic.com and Britannica.com. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. Not just the king penguin, but the emperor penguin. A unique creature that stands out from the rest. It was made for the cold, and it was made with adorableness in mind as well. I mean, if you have ever seen them waddle before, how do you not fall in love immediately? But anyways, I am so grateful that you have taken the time to join me on this episode, and I look forward to our next adventure together with the next animal. Take care.